Hey Ray Fam, thank you for being part of our incredible community. Your support has made the Reg C Show a hub for amazing stories, thought-provoking conversations, and unforgettable moments. We've embarked on a mission to bring you the most extraordinary guests, individuals with unique perspectives and stories that inspire. And here's where you come in. We're aiming to take our podcast to new heights and we want you to be a part of that journey. Imagine this. By subscribing to The Reg Z Show, you're not just staying updated on the latest episodes, you're actively contributing to the growth of our community and helping us attract even more amazing guests onto the show. So, if you haven't already, hit that subscribe button right now. It's a small action with a huge impact. Subscribing not only shows your support for the podcast, but it also sends a powerful message to potential guests that our community is passionate, engaged, and hungry for the kind of content that sparks curiosity and fuels inspiration. And if you have already subscribed, fantastic! Share the love by telling your friends, family, and colleagues about The Reg C Show. Together, we can build a community that celebrates diverse voices and extraordinary stories. Well, thank you for being a part of this journey. Your support means the world to us. So hit that subscribe button, join our growing community, and let's continue unlocking extraordinary stories together on The Reg C Show. As we all know, it is a well-established fact that we live in a time of unparalleled levels of anxiety. You don't have to be a psychologist to recognize this. You probably feel anxious more often than you like, and you have surely seen the signs in your family and friends. Every year, unfortunately, millions of people from around the world struggle with symptoms of anxiety and anxiety disorders, regardless whether you're a student, a teacher, or even an entrepreneur that's listening to this podcast right now. And truth be told, anxiety is a significant issue that deserves attention as it has an impact on everything from workplace performance to personal relationships. It can feel isolating, go hand in hand with depression, and even impact your physical health. Now, quick question. What if it was possible to reverse engineer the process from scratch that could solve anxiety permanently in a short time? Will you go for it? Well, if it is a yes, then this episode is for you. Hi, my name is Rayson and I'm the host of The Reg C Show. And in this episode, we've invited anxiety solution pioneer. Oh, this is a really interesting name. And his name is none other than Daniel Packard. Daniel is a UC Berkeley mechanical engineer who turned his painful 10-year battle with severe anxiety into a mission to engineer an actual permanent solution for anxiety. And after 8 years of research and testing, working with 3,000 people from 5 continents, his research has developed the world's only permanent anxiety solution program with a 90% success rate. And because Daniel is so passionate about results, his company is the only emotional health company in the world where clients only pay at the end off once your anxiety is fully solved. And you know what? Daniel was also a stand-up comedian for 15 years, so I'm sure this interview will be very illuminating for you, but also entertaining. So now, please welcome anxiety solution pioneer Daniel Packard into the podcast. Woo-hoo!
Yay! Yay! Oh my God, is that really Daniel Packard and Rayson?
Okay, two things. First of all, whenever I do a podcast, I get an intro, and it always feels good to have an intro. I wish everybody got to feel the joy of starting their day, you know, with an intro. Like, imagine it would be easier to get out of bed if people said, hey, now in bed is Bob. Bob is incredibly good at trading and making peanut butter sandwiches. Ladies and gentlemen, give a round of applause for Bob. Everyone deserves an intro. But I want your audience to know that a lot of that intro was a custom written intro by Rayson. And I do a lot of podcasts and they don't do a custom intro with research. So I want to appreciate you, Rayson, for doing your homework and creating a customized intro just for me and to your audience. I also want to say what Rayson said is true. This is an epidemic, as we know, and the problem is not the problem. The problem is nobody has come up with a solution for the problem. And so if you struggle with not just anxiety, but overwhelm, fear of rejection, fear of failure, insecurity, self-doubt, anything that you would describe as fear that's keeping you from being the person you want to be and living the life you want to live, I'm going to show you something that is very valuable because it's effective. I'm going to show you how not to manage these things, but how to solve them so you can be free of them and just get back to being the best, most confident, authentic version of you.
Yep, totally, totally. I mean, like the episode title is actually called Forever Escape the Box of Anxiety. So that's why everyone is actually really interested in this as well, because I truly believe that anxiety is something that it's not really what we'd like to have, especially when we feel about anxiety. It's always negative, right? So I believe this is something that we're going to talk a lot about later on. But Daniel, I would like to ask you, right? Can you share with us a little bit more about who you are and what you do, and especially what does your role entail you to do it as an anxiety solution pioneer?
Well, yeah, I think it's important. Sometimes I say people don't care about me. What they care about is themselves, which is true. No, your audience doesn't know me, but I think it's important that they know about me and also my company, because what I'm going to be claiming over the next little while and the information I'm going to share, your audience will, I promise you, be skeptical and even cynical. It's going to sound too good to be true. And if you don't know the story of where it came from and how we developed it, you will think it's too good to be true and you may miss out on something that could give you your life back. So it's helpful for your audience to know about me and how we came up with this so that they can trust it more. Because in this industry of mental health, there's a lot of people out there taking advantage of people with over-promising and under-delivering. And we started our company to go against that. But, you know, people still think are skeptical, which is understandable. Now, what we're doing, which is the innovation, is that we are solving permanent solution, meaning whether you call it anxiety, fear of rejection, fear of failure, self-doubt, insecurity. I'm going to be using the word anxiety a lot, but really, as you're going to learn, it has to do with just fear in general. Anxiety, we discovered, is just another version of fear. It's a more acute, but insecurity, it's still fear. Self-doubt is fear. They're lower levels, but they have the same root cause. So if you're listening to this and you're thinking, well, I don't have anxiety. Well, if you have fear of rejection, fear of failure, self-doubt, insecurity, this will apply to that. I'll just be using the word anxiety, but you can swap it out for those other things that you may be struggling with. And what we are doing is we are bringing something to the mental health, personal development, spirituality industry, which does not exist. Something that's very important, but doesn't exist. And that is permanent results and measurable results. Results matter to me and the company. And here's why they matter to me. They matter to me because when I was younger, growing up, my dad was a scientist and he was an inventor also. And I would see him invent things. And I thought it was just the most incredible superpower ever, that something didn't exist. And then he just made it. It seemed like magic. And he told me, he said, Daniel, you know, if something in this world isn't working, you can invent something better. And that always stuck with me, that you don't just get to sit back and settle for what's out there. You can invent things. And so I started inventing my own things. When I was younger, mountain bikes started to become a thing. And the brakes weren't that well designed. So I engineered my own brakes as a kid, and I built them, and they worked better than what was out there. And he also said something to me. He said, Daniel, a lot of people can claim to know what they're talking about, but not everybody does know what they're talking about. The person that you trust is the person that gets results. Results matter. Like, results is what actually matters at the end of the day, which makes a lot of sense. Not theory, not ideas, not inspiration. Results matter. And so that stuck with me, and I wanted to invent things that got results. It was neat. It was a challenge. And so I went to UC Berkeley Mechanical Engineering School, and I was properly trained how to look at a complex problem, break it down into a simple mechanical understanding, build prototypes, and then you test and you get data and results, and then you optimize and refine and redesign until you get something that really just gets consistent results. And it's a certain skill set. It's a certain way of approaching life. Engineers are problem solvers that make things that work, that get results. So I was good at that. I was trained to do that. The problem is, Rayson, and to your audience, they didn't teach me how to make relationships work or life work. I could make machines work, but not relationships. And so I was not equipped for life. And I fell in love with a woman. And I thought, according to Disney, we'd live happily ever after. Spoiler right. alert, we did not. The relationship turned really unhealthy very quickly. I later found out I was basically in an emotionally abusive relationship, but I was too insecure and codependent to leave. And so I stayed trying to save it, trying to be the hero, trying to be courageous. And when the relationship was finally over, 2 weeks later, the tiniest thing would happen, a phone call, an email, a car horn, anything. And my system would get filled with just terror. And I didn't know what was going on. It just the smallest thing. And I thought I was going to die. Didn't know what was going on. I later find out I have anxiety and complex PTSD. So like your audience, when they see these fear type limitations, they go looking for help. And that's what I did. For 10 years, I tried therapy, psychology, spirituality, religion. I did ashrams, retreats. I did the meditations. I tried pretty much everything. And all it ever did was manage it. It was still there. And at times it would get worse. And then my family didn't want to be around a person in pain. So they just walked away, basically, leaving me just feeling a lot more broken and alone and trapped. And I wouldn't have taken my own life, but I saw why people do. I got it. I went, oh my God, because I was not happy, and because nothing was solving it, I felt trapped. I felt hopeless. And I sort of had this moment where I looked up to the, you know, the big wisdom, and I was like, what? You know, what? I'm a good person. Like, why? What is going on? I've spent 10 years working on this. And help, what am I supposed to do? And I hear this voice, which was the voice of what my dad said, which is if something ain't working, invent something better. And it just didn't occur to me that that would apply to inner things. And then I remember what my dad said, which is results matter. And I looked at the entire personal development, spirituality, therapeutic industry. And I said, there's well-meaning intentioned people, but like, they're getting bad results. They're not solving this. Anxiety's on the rise. Depression's on the rise. You got the opioid epidemic. Alcoholism-related liver disease is on the rise. Like, all this stuff's on the rise. I said, just based in results.
Right.
They're not getting great results, and results matter. And so I started my own research company with the mission to see, maybe instead of approaching this psychologically or spiritually, let's approach this mechanically in engineering, because we're problem solvers. And I started my research company with the mission to see, could we reverse engineer a permanent solution to anxiety with measurable results? And it was way harder than I thought. But I saw it was needed for me. I was in a lot of pain. I saw the world was in pain, and they weren't getting results. And so we spent a total of 8 years and over $1 million in research and development. But I was one of the first test cases that started to feel it working. I remember very clearly waking up one morning and just feeling calm. And things happened that would have sent my system through the roof. It didn't affect me. Now, of course, I thought it was temporary. I was like, this can't be permanent. But it was. It was permanent. I've been chill as a cucumber for 10 years straight. Just nothing. No anxiety, no PTSD, no fear of rejection, no fear of failure, no nothing. I can feel a little bit of stress when things are challenged, but nothing limiting. And when we saw this data, we just went, oh my God, we actually pulled this off. And we saw the implications for the world, but we wanted to really innovate this industry. And part of innovation is you got to make something better. We did that, but also you got to make it cheaper. And when you work with people one-on-one, it gets very expensive. And when you work on people one-on-one for a long time, it gets expensive. So we spent another several years to take what worked and to build a system, an online program that's 6 weeks. So it's fast. You're not doing one-on-one. So it's very affordable and it's scalable, so we can help millions. And results matter. So I'm going to list off a couple of results that I want your audience to know, because that's what's valuable to them. First is, as you said, a 90% success rate. That's regardless of how long you've had your anxiety or what type of anxiety it is. It's a 90% success rate. That's result number one. Result number two, as you said, we believe in results. That's the ethical thing to do. When you work with us, you do not pay at the beginning. You pay at the end once you have measurable results. How do you know you get results? Because you're tracking your anxiety levels from 1 to 10 on our app as you go through the program. So you know where you start. We know where you end. So we have numerical data showing the improvement over 6 weeks. And then the final result I want to talk about is, no matter what I say in a bit, your audience is going to like what I'm about to teach them, but they're not going to fully believe me. So at the very end, I'm going to send them to my website to get a free training. And in that free training, you're going to apply one of our techniques to your fear and anxiety, and you'll get a real result that you can measure and feel it working in your body. I don't want your audience to just trust me. There's no way they can. They've been burned too much, but it's about results. Right. So I want to bring your audience education, but also ultimately it's results that matter, because when you're in pain, you just want results.
Wow, this is really interesting. And I would like to know more about it in a while. But of course, I would like to ask you as well, does this involve medications or any sort of psychotherapy kind of thing?
So it's a good question, and it's what people often ask me, you know, because they'll say, well, is it meditation? Is it medication? Is it hypnosis? Is it this? Is it that? You know, because they don't want to do something they've already tried and failed. And what I always tell people is, we're solving anxiety. We back up our results. If this was medication, that doesn't solve anxiety, does it?
Right.
If this was meditation, meditation's okay, it's temporary, it's symptom management, but does meditation solve anxiety? No. Does therapy solve anxiety permanently? No. So by definition, that we're getting innovative results and we charge in an innovative way, which is all based around results, what we've developed is completely innovative. And what's innovative about it is not any one particular tool or technique. What we realized is anxiety, and I'll explain more, is a system issue. A system is off. It's not one thing. So a system issue needs a system approach. So we have multiple tools working on multiple levels simultaneously that we've been optimizing and testing, and we lay the tools out in just the right order, in just the right sequence, in just the right formula, such that if you work the steps, you get the results. That's the secret sauce. It's not the any one thing. It's the formula that's been optimized to get the results.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. And I'd like to ask you, right, while you are actually developing your own method, your own methodology to improve on your anxiety and all, I'm pretty sure you would have met some failures along the way. Am I right to say that? Or mistakes along the way. So can you share with us, Daniel, do you have a favorite failure of yours? And how has that failure or apparent failure set you up for a later success to develop this full system that you have right now?
Wow, what an excellent question. Well, of course, this was very challenging. We were developing basically an inner science from scratch. And, you know, we were just engineers trying to figure this out. So yes, there was constant sort of failure in terms of building prototypes and testing things with these 3,000 people and collecting data and seeing what working and not working. It never felt like failure, because we knew what we were doing was a remarkable potentially impossible thing to do. So I never felt like, oh, we're failing. We were so proud of the work we were doing. We were getting results faster. We believed in our mission. So of course, things weren't working. Here is what has been a failure. Once we developed the program and we had the 90% success rate and we put it online and we told people, hey, you only pay at the end when it works, we thought for sure this would just catch on like wildfire. You have so many people dealing with fear and anxiety and it's trapping them. They've tried so many things that don't work. We're not only moving you beyond management to a solution, but you only pay at the end when it works. So it's zero risk to try it. And when it does work, you get your life back and it's way more affordable. And we thought we'd get to help millions quickly. And we were wrong. And we were wrong because we didn't factor in the fact that when something is innovative, there is skepticism from the very beginning. And so we are definitely helping people, but not nearly as many as we could because people have been burned so many times by personal development, therapy, and psychology, meaning they've spent a lot of money and time on these books and videos and retreats and therapists, and nothing has worked. So people through their experience think this is complicated and it is not simple and it's something that'll take a long time. Then we come along, not only do we have a solution, it's fast and it's simple, people just can't process it. So we have been failing at getting this out to people. And I didn't think this would be the big challenge, but this is now the big challenge. And what we're learning is just some people will be too cynical. There's nothing I can say or do. People have been burned too much and they've had this for too long. So the people we do work with have a brave, open mind. They're skeptical, but they're open. And they go, well, wait a minute, I'm skeptical, but if I only pay once it works, I should try it. And we go, exactly. So if you're listening to this and you're skeptical, but open, keep listening.
Okay. Nice. And just wondering, what were the skepticisms that they had about your program or about the method that you have?
Too good to be true.
Oh, okay. Okay. And when this was, you know, said to you guys, hey, this is too good to be true, how did you all respond to it? And also at the same time, how long did this kind of skepticism get reduced after that?
Well, it's great questions. We're still battling it because the only way to know for sure how effective this program is to go through the program. Like, right. I had, on a regular basis, people reach out to me. They say, you know, I'm very skeptical about this. I guess 2 months ago, there was a woman from Colorado, Jenny, she reached out. She said, I've had fear of rejection and anxiety my whole life. It's holding me back. I'm not happy. I'm not confident. I'm not authentic. I've tried everything. I've gone to therapy, psychology, retreats, meditations. Nothing gets rid of it. I've had it since I was a kid. But I met somebody at a dinner party and they had gotten incredible results. And they said, you know, there's no risk to try it. So I'm open to it. And I said, great. And about day five, she reached out to my team and she said, oh my God, this is incredible. Like this works. And I see it's all engineered because it's so innovative. You can't appreciate it until you appreciate it. Just like technology. I mean, go back 200 years and tell people about a jet. They can't wrap their heads around it until you see a jet. So Logic won't, you can't logic a person out of their skepticism because their skepticism is based in pain and their experience. So what we have done, however, is we realized that to get people to be open, we needed to give them like a sample. Because if we just say, well, you're only going to know till you do the program, then people say, well, you know, that's too big of a leap. So the reason that we offer this free 45-minute training where you apply one of the techniques is you will then see why these tools are so effective and have an experience, a positive experience. You will feel calmer and things that used to make you anxious, you are less anxious about it in like 3 minutes. And then that's what makes people believers, is the experience. So that's been the key, is to create like a little bit of sample, like a drug dealer giving you a little bit of meth. Probably not the best metaphor, but you get the point. We got to give you a little sample, right, and get you hooked on results.
Okay, cool. And since you said that it has so much results, right? Then can you share with us, like, has any government or any institutions or hospitals have actually worked with you guys in implementing this with their clients or their patients per se?
So we've been working with nonprofits that are trying. I worked, I lived for 2 years with the South African in South Africa, working with addicts and people struggling with mental health, anxiety, and depression. And they found out about the work that I was doing, and we basically started to run some test trials. And they started to see the results that they were getting with their patients were much better than what was out there, because this program goes to the root cause. It's solving it and it's simple. And they wanted to bring the program into the national addiction and mental health response. But I think it's important that I explain how we're able to solve anxiety, because the program is great. Yes, it saves people's lives. But until you understand how we solve it, it's still not going to make sense. So I want your audience to understand basically the two discoveries that we made that make it solvable. Make sense?
Makes sense. Okay.
Okay. So the key to understand is we solved it not because we are smarter, not because we are better, or we discovered anything magical or fancy. We discovered it because we were focused on solving it to begin with. Most of the mental health, personal development, spiritual industry, especially therapists, they go to school and they learn some theories and tips and tools to manage anxiety.
Right.
And then they start a practice and they get paid to share these tips and tools and strategies to manage things. Like that's their industry. That's their business model. They know what that is. There's value in management and they're okay with that. And they're making a good business managing things because clients are always coming back. But those just aren't great results if you're an engineer managing it for the rest of your life. Band-aids? No. So we, part of why we solved it is we wanted to solve it. No more management. We went right at it. And to go at it, we started from scratch. We said, let's stop using all these concepts that have been around for 100 years and just being regurgitated that don't get permanent results. I mean, Freud was one of the founders of modern psychology. The guy was a chain-smoking cocaine addict. That's true. Look it up. So you can have a therapist that knows a lot but doesn't actually get results. And people know that they have therapists that have anxiety. So it's not a great track record. So we started from scratch. We said, let's not use what's being done because that's not getting the job done. Let's start from scratch. And we challenged all the beliefs that aren't working. The first one is that everybody's told that anxiety is a problem of the mind. You know, they say, quiet your negative thinking. Don't think so much about the future. Quiet the scarcity mindset. They give us pills to target the neurotransmitters in our brain. It's called mental health. Got the word mental right in there. So the therapists and a lot of spiritual teachers and a lot of psychologists are charging your listeners money saying it's a problem of the mind. Now, if it's in the mind, great, go for it. But we stopped and said, well, wait a minute, results matter. Is this whole mind approach getting great results? And the answer is no, it's not solving anything. So we said, well, maybe it's not in the mind, because if it was in the mind, they would have solved it by now,
right?
Most likely. So we said, well, maybe it's not in the mind. Maybe the mind is a symptom, which means maybe there's a root cause where it's actually coming from. And we said, well, where do we think it's coming from? We started to ask these questions. And the second we started to ask these questions, the answer was revealed, and it's very, very simple. So to you, Rayson, and your audience, they say it's a problem in the mind, but do people say, I think anxious? Or I feel anxious.
Feel anxious.
Yeah. Do people say, I think afraid or I feel afraid?
Feel afraid.
Yeah. Feel. And where do we feel it? Well, if you have anxiety or fear, you'll feel your throat close up, your chest can tighten, your heart rate can go up, your stomach can get that queasy, icky feeling. So the experts have told all of us and sent all of us to the mind to solve this. But listen to those words: throat, chest, heart, stomach. Does that sound like the mind to you or more like the body?
The body.
Yeah. Was that a complicated question or a simple question?
Simple question.
But
I always thought, I mean, as mental health trained, I always thought that, you know, everything starts from within, which is your mind. And then all these symptoms from your body, from your throat and all, is actually caused by your mind, in a sense.
Yeah, I know. That's what you were told. That's what everybody was told. But remember what my dad said, results matter. That approach, has it solved it?
No.
No. Okay. So what if it's not as true as you think?
Interesting.
People have gotten confused. Now, it's a decent, understandable way to get confused because the mind does say scary things. So if you're hearing scary things in your mind and you feel fear and some expert tells you you're the mind is the source, it sort of looks like it could be true. Now, it's not true, but it feels true. But if you are an engineer and you go, wait a minute, is the mind the cause or the symptom? But it, once you look at it, it's very clear that the body doesn't follow the mind. The mind follows the body. Why? Because that's the way we are wired. The body communicates what the body needs to stay alive. And then the mind senses what the body needs and is a tool to get the body what it needs. For instance, when you're hungry, you feel hunger in the body first. The mind senses the hunger. And then the mind says, oh, I better figure out how to get us some food. Or if you're, you know, in the jungle and you hear something in the bushes, you'll feel fear, fight or flight in your body first. Then your mind goes, uh-oh, there's a threat. We better figure out how to get out of here. So based on that, just based on survival, does the mind follow the body or does the body follow the mind?
Okay, the body follows the mind.
No, the mind follows the body.
Oh, okay.
Also, you know this. Your audience knows this. Have you ever noticed when you're feeling a bit calmer, your mind tends to focus on more good things? And when you're feeling more fear and anxiety, you tend to notice on the negative things?
Yes. Okay.
So again, does the mind follow the body or does the body follow the mind?
Okay. I understand. The mind follows the body.
Yes.
Okay. So this is the biggest misconception our listeners and even myself have, right? That everything starts from the mind. But actually, it's not. It's actually from your body. Your throat is signaling something, so it tells your mind. So your mind will tell you, oh, you're feeling like this or something. Then you will react to that emotion, to that feeling in your throat.
Exactly. For reasons which I'll explain to you and your audience, your body is feeling the fear and anxiety. Then your mind thinks there's a threat. It thinks there's a tiger or a threat and then starts to spin thinking, oh, there's a problem, starts looking for problems and solving problems. And then it will find problems, which then gets you stuck in a loop. We've all been stuck in that loop where you feel fear, then your mind says scary thoughts, which makes you more afraid and you get stuck in a loop. So the mind is part of it. But in science, we call there's a difference between causation and correlation. The mind is correlated, but it's not the cause. And if you want to solve something, you got to go to the actual cause. So what you just said, that is the biggest misconception. And once we saw that, we went, wait a minute. This is fixable if we go to the right location. Now, I'm telling your audience, this isn't just theory. It's not just some idea. We tested this. We started to develop early prototypes of our tools. I used them, our test cases used them, and their body fear went down and stayed down, but also their mind started to quiet and stay quiet. We had one of our earliest test cases. She didn't know this, and her mind was always spinning, and she would blame herself. She would say, there's something wrong with me. I have a weak mind. Why does my mind say these scary things? And the problem is when the experts send you to the wrong location, you blame yourself, and you think, oh, I have a scarcity mindset, and why can't I turn my mind off? Well, because as long as your body feels fear, your mind is going to start spinning. It's a reflex. And I told her, I said, you're not crazy. You're not weak-minded. You don't have a scarcity mindset. Your body is afraid and your mind is trying to help. And when we calm your body, your mind will go with it. And she said, if you could do that, that would be the greatest two-for-one offer I've ever heard. So she went through the program, and about 4 weeks in, she just said to me, Daniel, for the first time in years, the whole day, she said, my mind was just quiet. And it wasn't quiet because I meditated. It isn't quiet because I shifted my mindset. It's not quiet because I did anything. She said, my body is calm, and so my mind is calm. And not only is it effective, it's permanent. So to your audience out there, I just want you to know, you've been trying to solve this at the mind level. And because the experts sent you to the wrong location, you were never going to solve it. And you were always just going to be putting band-aids on this because you're just chasing the symptoms. So that's why you still have fear and anxiety. Not because you're broken or trapped. You were sent to the wrong place. It's not your fault. It's the fault of the people you trusted. But I'm telling you, and I'm asking you, Rayson, a lot of people say, Daniel, how can you solve it? That seems impossible. But Rayson, can you understand that if the experts send us to the wrong location, they're not going to solve it? Can you see that?
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that.
And can you see that if we just, as engineers, went to the actual root cause location, can you see that without anything fancy or magical, it's very likely maybe we did solve it because we actually went to the root cause?
Yeah, it does feel magical once you hit the right spot. Once you went into the right spot, the right body part, it just changes in a sense.
Exactly. And what I'm explaining to you is not complicated. This is simple. The problem is the experts got confused, weren't honest about it, and sent people to the wrong place. And they confused us, and they've sent us on a wild goose chase. But they basically gave us a map with really bad directions. But if you have a good map, things get better really quickly. And again, don't take my word for it. At the end, download the free training, apply the technique, which you'll apply to your body, and you are going to feel something profound. Get a real result.
Right. So for those of you who are interested, you can actually go to www.danielpackard.com, which is danielpackard.com, and go and look for the training. And this training is for free, 45 minutes for you, and you can actually learn how you can lower your anxiety quickly, and it also gives you proof that your anxiety can be solved.
And this yes, is something exactly.
I truly believe that it will be something that is going to be magical for everyone that is tuning in to this episode. And of course, Daniel, I'd like to ask you, right, you know, individuals that are watching right now, they're entrepreneurs, they're teachers, and whatever profession they're in, they always think that anxiety is equivalent to stress, in a sense, overly stressed. So how can individuals differentiate between normal stress and anxiety that may require professional intervention?
Excellent question. And the fact that you're asking this question, it's a question I get asked a lot by podcast hosts, but also when I talk to clients, when they're interested in our program, they'll say, you know, well, how do I know I even have anxiety? Maybe I'm just an anxious person. Maybe it's what's going on in the world. Maybe it's what happened. And it's a good question. But the fact that people don't know this is indicative of the problem. Smart, capable people that are trying to solve this have no idea, Rayson, what the heck is going on. Not because they're not smart, because they are smart and went got research. But the experts, quote unquote experts, aren't so experty. So there's all these different theories on what anxiety is, what it isn't, where it starts from, where it comes from. And then they give you approaches and people try them and they fail. And so people start to wonder, well, maybe it's normal, maybe it's not normal. Also, almost everybody's dealing with fear and anxiety. So you start to think, well, maybe this is just normal. So I call it the improvement industrial complex. This is the industry that takes in a trillion dollars a year with a T and doesn't deliver permanent results. They're well-intentioned, but they are confusing people where people don't even know what's going on. Like you would never ask the question, hey, Daniel, how do I know if I'm bleeding or not? Like, is that blood, or maybe that's just dried salsa? Like, no one's confused about bleeding, or nobody says, hey, Daniel, I'm wondering, how do I know if I'm choking or not? Is choking a good thing? Shouldn't we have a little bit? Like, nobody talks about that because we have clarity about what choking is. It's a blockage of the airway, and we know how to clear it up. So when people have clarity, you're not confused. The reason we figured this out is we're engineers. We made these simple and a simple solution. That said, here's what's going on. What is normal is that if you are challenged by life, if there are some unknowns or something that matters to you and you don't know how it's going to go, you will feel something. You will feel something called stress. That is healthy. That is normal. It's called the stress response. Right. Stress is usually about 3 out of 10 intensity to about 4 out of 10 intensity. And it lasts the duration of the situation. So if you're running late to catch your airplane, you might feel 4 out of 10 stress, but then you get on the airplane and you calm down. That is stress. That is normal. That's fine. Can't get rid of that. Even I have that sometimes. However, as you know, people aren't just feeling 3 out of 10 or 4 out of 10. They can be feeling 6 out of 10, 7 out of 10, 8 out of 10. They can feel it when they're just giving a talk, but there's no threat. They can feel that just from an email from work. They can feel like there's a tiger in the room, or it can be like nothing's going on and they just feel anxious and afraid and their brain is spinning. And also you're just at home, nothing's going on, just trying to Netflix and chill and you're snuggy and you feel like there's a tiger in the room. That is not normal. That is not healthy. That is anxiety. And that is what our system solves. I used to have 6 out of 10, 7 out of 10, 8 out of 10. I had panic attacks where I was in the fetal position in my house, afraid to leave. That's not normal. That's not healthy. Now, because I used our program, I'm good. I'm healthy. I feel stressed for 3 out of 10 for about 5 minutes and it's gone. So if you're listening to this and the idea of feeling stressed at 4 out of 10 for 5 minutes sounds way better than 8 out of 10 for 5 hours or 5 days. If that sounds good to you, that's what we can get you.
Okay. Nice. Interesting. And what should our listeners be wary of when seeking help for anxiety? Because I believe, you know, for those of them, when they listen to this, if they are still skeptical and they still find that, oh, I should go and look for my psychologist, I should look for a psychiatrist, get the pills and whatsoever not, you know, what should they be wary of when seeking help?
Well, I am in a very special situation in that I founded my company specifically because of my dissatisfaction with the mental health, spiritual, personal improvement, industrial complex. So I tried it all. I spent $100,000. It didn't solve anything. So I'm very biased, but I wouldn't go to those people anymore. Not for this. We're getting permanent results and we back up our results. However, here's what I wish was in this industry of psychologists and therapists. Results. Backed up results. If you really know what you're doing, you back up your results and you measure results. When you take your car to a mechanic, you say, hey, my car isn't running, and they have to get your car running and then they get paid. And it's measurable. There's a result. If you hire a landscaper, you're like, hey, could you clean up that garden? You come back, they've done it and you pay them. Contractors. So many people get paid for measurable results, but because the improvement industrial complex doesn't get great results, they couldn't offer that because they'd be out of business. So find people that back up their results. Unfortunately, none of them do. So be wary. If they don't back up their results, odds are they're not getting great results. Now, I want to explain to you again where anxiety is coming from so you can understand it better. And then I want to do a little exercise so your audience can feel again what I'm talking about. Because again, if I just talk theory and these people haven't solved it and we solved it, your audience is understandably not going to trust me. So here's why it's solvable and why it's simple. A couple reasons. First of all, we went from the mind to the body. If you think anxiety is in the mind, they don't understand the mind. There's like 180 billion neurons. I think there's 100 trillion synaptic pathways. They don't know what's going on in there. And psychology and spirituality, it's conceptual. It's theoretical. It's abstract. They're like trying to explain, is it the ego? Is it a scarcity mindset? Is it abundance thinking? It's theories, but it's not mechanical. And if you want to solve something, you want to know what's really going on in there. So if you think it's a problem of the mind, you can't solve it. It's complicated. But also, it's the wrong location. But once you go to the body, Ray, send into your audience, what do you think is more easy to understand, the mind or the body?
The body.
Why?
Because it's less complex and pretty much we already know what they are for as compared to our mind, because our minds is pretty complicated organ. I would say part of us, which is not something that we would know everything about. There's so many things that are not known about the brain, but there's so many things known about our liver, our stomach, our spleen, our kidneys, for example. So yeah,
exactly. Gold stars to you, Rayson, and anybody in the audience. Yes, the body, we understand the body pretty well. Not everything, but a lot of things. We understand skeletons and the heart and arteries and skin and teeth and eyes, so many things. We kind of understand it and how to fix it. Not everything, but a lot of things. Why? Because the body is not psychological or spiritual. The body is mechanical. A skeleton is mechanical. The heart is mechanical. Arteries, mechanical. It's all mechanical. And there's systems. And if you understand the system and the mechanics, you can know why a system fails and you can repair the system. So once we saw that, we thought, great, we're engineers, we're system people. So then we just asked the question, if there's a system in the body that's making people afraid and anxious, we can figure out that system, why it's malfunctioning and how to repair it. You can repair a heart, you can repair teeth, you can repair a knee. You should be able to repair this. And once we asked the right question and we were trying to solve it, again, the answer was very, very, very simple. So simple, you already know the answer, okay? So to Rayson and your audience, let's take out the word anxiety or fear of rejection or insecurity. Those are sort of labels. And just use the word nervous. Just okay. Different versions of nervous. Extra nervous is anxiety. Extra, extra, extra nervous is a panic attack. A little bit of nervous is insecure. But let's just use the word nervous, okay? We got people walking around feeling more nervous than they want to be. So what system in the body is most likely responsible for making everybody extra nervous? The capillary system, the endocrine system, or the nervous system?
Sounds like it's the nervous system. Correct me if
yes, of course. And why do you think it sounds like it's the nervous system?
Because you're feeling nervous.
Yes, exactly. And you're laughing. Why? Because like it's so simple. It's so obvious. People are feeling extra nervous. There's a system in the body called the nervous system. That seems to be the best place to go looking. So not only is this true, but think about how misguided the experts are. You got millions and millions and millions of people that are nervous, getting more nervous. There's a system in the body called the nervous system. And the experts went, oh no, this is a brain disorder. What do you guys, how did you miss this? It's so simple and obvious, which we found because we were looking for a solution. You do not have anxiety. You do not have panic attacks. That's a label of a symptom. Your nervous system has crashed. It's in a state of disrepair and it's out of balance and it's cranking out too much nervousness. Now, it's still painful and scary, but can you see, once you see it as an issue of the body and there's just a system in the body, can you see why it's more likely to solve it if we realize it's just a system in the body that needs to be repaired? Can you see why that makes it seem more simple and solvable?
Yep.
Why?
Because it is like, how do I put it? It is in your nervous system that is affecting you. So technically, it will be the dead body part, that system that you are supposed to actually tackle. And so it's just like when you have a heart attack, you can't be, you know, surgically go and do a surgery on your brain, but you have to go to the heart, which is the source of the whole, you know, that whole issue in a sense. So, yep. I mean, this is a simple term, simple way of saying it.
Yes. And the heart, you know, if it malfunctions, it can kill you. But the heart is a system. And over time, they figured out if you've had a heart attack, they figured out how to open up the arteries, clean it out, change your diet, and you're going. Systems in the body fail. The heart, your teeth, you can need a root canal. You don't have to live like that. You don't need to go to a therapist for 7 years and learn about your root canal and learn about how to manage your root canal. No, you go, they understand the system, they repair it, and you're up and running. So to people out there going, how did you solve it? How did you? We figured out it was just a system in the body making everybody nervous, and we're engineers. But people already have an experience that systems can fail and systems can be repaired. So this is completely possible. Now, again, I don't expect your audience to fully believe me, but I'm trying to create a perceptual framework to create an opening of possibility of people going, huh, guys, making a lot of sense. Like if it's a nervous system issue, systems can be repaired. Huh, it makes more sense. Now, I want your audience to understand what that even means, a crashed nervous system. So when your nervous system is crashed, nobody talks like that. Nobody walks around saying, oh, I have a crashed nervous system, because this is an innovative way of looking at it. But here's how your audience will experience it. When your nervous system is unhealthy and crashed, it's in a state of failure, you will feel a feeling that people don't talk about, but is at the root of this. And that feeling that you will feel if your nervous system is unhealthy is unsafe.
Daniel, I'm just wondering, what causes the nervous system to crash then? Is it because of, you know, you overthink things that causes you to have this kind of stuff, or anything that's got to be physiological with this nervous system?
Well, it's basically a good question. The short answer is every system in the body has basic hygiene and maintenance that it needs. Okay. You need to get enough sleep. You need to drink enough water. For your dental system, you need to brush and floss. For your diet, you need to eat the food pyramid. There's basics that are the systems in our body needs, basic hygiene. And if you know the basic hygiene, you can do them every day and the systems in your body run pretty well. If you brush and floss, that's the basic hygiene, your teeth stay pretty healthy. But we were taught, we understand to take care of our teeth daily. We know what to do daily. But to you, Rayson, and your audience, did anybody ever sit you down and say, hey, here's what you do every day to your feelings and emotions in your nervous system? This is the basic daily maintenance that you need to do every day. And if you don't do it, you're going to end up with an unhealthy nervous system. Did anybody have that conversation with you?
No, besides those, you know, those gurus and those self-help gurus, personal development teachers that teaches you, positive affirmations, you have to practice them, and incantations, things like that. So, only this kind of people would say this.
Just to interrupt, that's not nervous system emotional maintenance. It's nice. It's symptom management. But do you even know what the nervous system needs every day? Do you know what your feelings and emotions need every day to stay healthy? Do you know?
No.
No, nobody does. It's not taught. We're taught all these other types of health, financial health, physical health, garden health, pet health, family health. We were never taught basic daily health of our nervous system. So since we were never taught it, you couldn't take care of your system. If you were never taught to brush and floss, eventually your teeth are going to crash. You were never taught to take care of your nervous system. So now it's crashed. Simple, mechanical. And when the nervous system crashes, your body feels unsafe. Can you understand that whether you call it anxiety, fear of rejection, self-doubt, insecurity. Can you see that those are almost just labels to describe just feeling not fully safe from within yourself?
Yeah. Those are labels. I
sense
it. Yeah.
And deep down, we just don't feel safe. If you don't feel safe, you will feel fear. Once you feel fear, you'll label that fear, doubt, insecurity, fear of rejection, fear of failure, anxiety, overwhelm, panic. You'll give it different names, but they're all different symptoms of not feeling safe. Not feeling safe is basically what you experience from a crashed nervous system. So our program, it doesn't get rid of anxiety. What it's doing is it's repairing, keyword repairing, the nervous system so it becomes strong, and then you feel safe from the inside out. I wake up every morning just feeling safe. Nothing can affect me. I can feel life. I can experience challenge. But can you understand if you felt safe from the inside out? Can you see how that would profoundly make your life better?
Yeah, I can. I can sense it. I can feel that, you know, what you're going to offer and the free 45 minutes video that you're gonna share in your website is gonna be helpful for many of us. And truth be told, I've not watched the video yet, but it makes me feel like I'm gonna watch this after our podcast interview.
Good. That means I've done a good job of communicating. I am not here to convince anybody that we've solved it. I know, because I wake up every morning feeling safe and I haven't had fear or anxiety in 10 years. I see the results and data of our clients every day. So I know this works, but your audience doesn't. So all I want to do is get you to be curious and go to the next step. So that means I'm a good communicator, I believe. But I want to give you another little tidbit that's going to make you even more curious, which is to prove to you that your nervous system is mechanical, and you can do things to make it feel unsafe and anxious, and you can do things to make it feel safe and calm. But I want you to feel it so we go beyond theory. Does that sound good?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so we're going to do a little role play exercise, and I'll do the role play exercise by talking to you, Rayson, but I'm also talking to your listeners. Hello, listeners, wherever you are in the world, if you're on a beach, if you're at the gym, if you're in your car, on your couch, hello. I hope you found this information, and maybe it's giving you some hope. So in this role play, I'm going to use the word you. So if I say, let me ask you a question, I'm talking to you, Rayson, but also your listeners, okay?
Okay.
So let's do a little practice on the you. Let me ask you a question. Pop quiz. What is the possible likely root cause of anxiety? Your in-laws, the justice system, or your nervous system?
Answer will be C, nervous system.
Gold stars to you, meaning you, Rayson, and listener. All right, very good. Okay, see how simple this is? Now, you're already getting it. All right, so in this role play, we're going to be friends. I feel like we are friends, but we're friends, okay? And let's say we're friends, and I've been a good friend to you for a while, to you. But then let's say all of a sudden, for reasons which you don't understand, all of a sudden I start to be a really crappy friend to you. I'm mean to you. I'm critical of you. I'm not supportive of you. When you're struggling, I leave you alone. When you tell me what you need, I don't really hear you. I put you fifth and I put everybody else ahead of you. And I insult you and I tell you you're not important.
Okay.
If I treat you that way for a while, will you feel safe and calm or unsafe and anxious around me?
Definitely B.
Yes.
Definitely B.
Okay. So now let's say you, meaning you, Rayson, and listener, on the count of three, I want you to turn to me and say, hey, the way you're treating me makes me feel unsafe. Okay? On the count of three, say, the way you're treating me makes me feel unsafe. On the count of three. One, two, three.
Hey, the way you're treating me is making me feel unsafe.
Why are you like this? What is wrong with you? Everything is fine. You're not unsafe. You're fine. I don't even know why you feel like this. You're going, is something wrong with you? And also, I don't know why you're coming to me. All right. You're on your own. Deal with this crap on your own and don't come to me with your problems because you're getting in the way of my life. You're a burden to me. Leave me alone.
Wow.
Do you feel safe and calm or more unsafe and more anxious?
Definitely more anxious.
Yes. Okay. I'm sorry to do that to you. I would never do that to you. This is for the sake of science. So now those two things make a nervous system feel unsafe and anxious. So now if there is mechanical engineering in your system, I should be able to do the opposite if I really know what I'm talking about. So let's see. On the count of three, to you, Brayson, an audience member, I want you to say, hey, the way you're treating me has me feeling unsafe. On the count of three. One, two, three.
Hey, the way you're treating me has made me feel unsafe.
Oh my God, I am so sorry. Thank you for telling me. Oh my God, I have been a horrible friend to you. And I'm glad you told me how you're feeling, because how you're feeling is because of how I've been treating you. It's not a problem. It's like, it makes sense after how I've treated you. I am so sorry. I was selfish, and we're going to work together, and I'm going to do what it takes so that you feel calmer and more trusting and safe around me. Do you feel unsafe and anxious, or more safe and more calm?
Definitely more safe and more calm, because when you did what you did earlier, it makes me overthink things. It will make me think, hey, what did I do? Why is he saying all this? Why is she saying all this? What can I do to improve and make the situation better, for example? And you keep thinking about all this, and you start to panic, you start to perspire a lot, you start to have a lot of anxiety from there, in a sense.
Exactly. And yes, overthinking will be part of it, but you just said it. I'm going to feel this way. So what I've shown you through this overly simplified role play is that there's very simple, predictable mechanics in your nervous system. You can accidentally do things that your nervous system doesn't like and feel unsafe and anxious. But then, of course, if you know the engineering and the mechanics, you can then feel safe and calm. Now, in this exercise, we were in a friend relationship. But can you see that on some level, you are in a relationship with yourself? And so the very same mechanics that made you either calm or anxious also apply to you and your own nervous system based on how you treated yourself. Right. So can you see that I've at least shown you that maybe this anxiety thing isn't so complicated and psychological? Maybe it's mechanical. And if you understand the mechanics, you can actually take a person pretty quickly from unsafe and anxious to safe and calm.
Oh, this is a really important skill, I would say, that we all should learn. And it's really life-changing, I would say. And when we did that exercise, I feel calm in a way or other.
Yes! See how fast it works? Now, this isn't permanent. It was a role play just to show you proof of concept. But you saw how sort of kind of simple and mechanical this is. Now, in the free training, you're going to understand better why your nervous system went from unsafe to safe and anxious to calm. You'll understand why. But right now, I just wanted to show you, like, this stuff is real. It ain't theoretical. You can feel the simple mechanics working and not working. But to know why, that's also in the free training.
Okay, awesome. Understand. And Daniel, just want to ask you, right? You know, so many people out there that are actually seeking help. But sometimes when you want to help them, there's some, you know, some form of challenge for you, in a sense. So can you tell us, like, what are the biggest challenge to helping people with anxiety?
Well, I already told you. They think it's too good to be true.
Oh, their skepticism, right?
Their skepticism, the doubt. Also, because the improvement industrial complex has failed everybody, people internalize their failure and they think they're broken and there's something wrong with them. I was talking to a client last week and she said, my friend got incredible results. I believe that it works, but I don't think it'll work for me. And I said, why do you think it won't work for you? She said, I don't know. And I said, do you kind of feel broken? And she said, yeah. And I said, yeah, that's how it feels. I felt broken. Now you're not broken, but that's how it feels when the experts tell you things should work and they don't work, you unconsciously blame yourself. So if your audience has had this stuff a long time, they unconsciously think there's something wrong with them and broken. So even if I say we have a 90% success rate, they'll say, well, I'm the 10%. But here's what I'm here to tell you. You're not broken. There's nothing wrong with you. The reason you failed is because the experts sent you to the wrong location and they didn't understand the system and how to repair it. So they've just been giving you Band-Aids all this time. You needed a full root canal repaired and they were handing you dental floss. So that's why you still have it. You're not broken. The industry is. But this is what I always tell people. Again, no matter what I say, they're going to have doubt and skepticism until you try it and feel better. When we were developing the program, I had doubt and skepticism. Even when I was feeling better, I thought I was still doubtful because this is innovative. So right. It feels new, and new things feel too good to be true until they become the new normal. So what I always tell people is be skeptical, have doubt. But if you see that fear and anxiety is costing you joy and happiness and success and results and a life you want to live, that's a very costly problem. You haven't found a solution yet, which is because there aren't solutions out there. If it's valuable for you to solve this, think of the value of that. It's like, I asked a guy the other day, I told him what we charge. And he said, is that all you charge? I said, yeah. And he said, I mean, this is like $1 million gift. I was like, well, yeah, if we charged $1 million, we couldn't help more people. But it's worth like $1 million to live with, to wake up every morning safe.
Right.
So since you only pay at the end, you can be skeptical, have some doubt, but it's zero risk to try it. So try it. If it doesn't work, you don't pay. When it does work, you get to be happier and more confident for the rest of your life. Isn't that a good value proposition?
Yeah, it is. It is. Wow, awesome. And, you know, as we are coming to the end of our podcast, I have two more questions for you. All right, Daniel? So this question that I have for you is that I actually read somewhere that you actually wrote this on your article. And I want to ask you, that is, for parents with children struggling with anxiety, what can they learn to help their children? And, you know, young people are more anxious than ever, right? And experts say it's because of the added pressure of social media. But you're saying that's not really true. So can you tell us why not as well?
You brought up two really, really good points. So because the improvement industrial complex can't solve this, people are told, well, it's the economy. It was the pandemic. It's social media. Now, social media challenges people, but can you understand if you feel safe from the inside out, you can look at social media and not be affected by it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See, what's happening is your system is fragile. When your system is fragile, if you push on it, instead of feeling pressure, you feel pain. If you have strong teeth, you can bite a carrot and you feel pressure, but no pain. But if you have crashed fragile teeth, you bite into the carrot and you feel this spike. But if you bite into a carrot and you feel a lot of pain, do you go, oh my God, that carrot, I have carrot pain disorder. It's the carrots of the world. Do you blame the carrot?
No, we blame it on our gums and teeth.
Yeah, they're fragile. And when you push on it with pressure, it feels pain. We figured this out. So, again, the data, people came to us during the pandemic. They said, the pandemic's making me anxious. And I explained to them, no, it's not. You had a fragile system. The pandemic is extra pressure and your system can't handle it and you're feeling anxiety. And they said, it sounds good, but I still don't believe you. I said, great. A gentleman named Roger, I think he was from Utah or Wyoming, I forget where. He said, Daniel, not only am I calm, I'm the most calm I've ever been during the pandemic. So this isn't, it's not what's going on. if you have a fragile system, anything that's going on is going to create quote unquote anxiety, but it's not the thing, it's your fragile system. And the going back to your question about parents, there's not much you can do if you have anxious kids, because the root cause is not being addressed and they're going to have a fragile system. And social media, life pressure, the economy, global warming is going to push on them. If they had a strong system, they would feel safe and they'd be resilient. But that's right. Not taught. But the cool thing is, parents come to me all the time and they say, not only am I anxious, but I can see I'm making my kids anxious and I don't know how to stop it. This happened 2 months ago. A woman said, I have panic attacks. I'm anxious. I have OCD and I can see I'm passing it along to my kid and I can't stop it and I feel horrible. And I said, I know. And I said, it's because nobody ever taught you how to model good behavior with a healthy nervous system. So you can't possibly teach it to your child. It's like, if you don't know about healthy diet, you can't make your kid healthy food. So I told her, not only are we going to teach you how to be healthy and happy and safe, but then you'll know exactly how to treat your child. You'll model the behavior. And she said, I mean, that sounds incredible. So she went through the program. Around week 5, she said, I am so grateful. And I said, oh, you're feeling calmer? She said, well, yes, but that's not what I'm grateful for. I said, what are you grateful for? She said, my teenager, my 15-year-old came back from school. And I asked my teenager, how was school? And my teenager said, well, I got bullied again, but it just didn't bother me anymore. And the mom said, what happened? And the kid said, well, I saw what you're doing in this program and I applied it to myself and it just didn't affect me. And she said, I can't thank you enough. Every parent just wants a calm child that can handle life. And now I know how to do that. So to you parents out there, if you want to know how to not only have a healthy nervous system so you feel safe and confident and resilient, and then make sure that your children feel safe, confident, and resilient, that's what happens in the program. And we don't charge you extra. You get it for you, and then you get to create happier children, and we don't charge you an extra penny because we want this to spread. We want the whole world to be healthy and happy and safe.
Awesome. Nice. So for those of you who are tuning in, be it you're a young adult, you're a teenager, or even an adult right now, go to danielbeckett.com and go and check out that 45-minute video. It's definitely worth the try. And after listening to this whole episode, I'm pretty sure you would have felt so calm, because I myself feel calm when I'm talking to Daniel as well. And it's a good thing. It's an awesome thing. And Daniel, I have one last question for you, and that is this, okay?
Well, before you ask by the way, you asked excellent questions, Rayson. I want to be able to wrap up what we've gone over and even tell people why they would get the free training, because their time is valuable. So I just want to make sure I still get to do that.
Yeah, sure. You can do that.
Great. What's your question?
Okay. So, Daniel, imagine this, okay? You suddenly lose everything, okay? Your money, your reputation, your assets. What will you do from day 1 to day 30 to save
yourself? To what?
To save yourself.
Ooh. Man, that's a good question. Well, one of the benefits of having a healthy nervous system is you feel safe and centered no matter how hard life gets.
Right.
I'm imagining everything gets stripped away from me. I don't prefer it. It's not fun. It might create some stress, but I can see that I would be calm because things haven't been that bad, but you know, we've almost run out of money a few times when we were developing this program. So I've been close to that and I was calm. And then from that place of calm, I would have clarity of options. I wouldn't panic. Well, because I've saved a lot of lives with this program, I'd probably reach out to some clients and say, hey, remember how I saved your life? Could you loan me some money to get back on my feet? Also, if you can help me get back on my feet, we can get these tools to more people. But basically what I would do, just very simply, know that I'm lovable, deserving of love and care and support. Because my ego would be quiet, I wouldn't mind asking for help. And I would just go ask people for help.
Okay, awesome. Okay, nice. Yeah, I mean, asking for help is the thing that we should be doing, especially when we are at the end of, you know, at wit's end. And getting help will eventually help us survive, because we are no one man island. It's like a thousand islands linked together. We are all like in an ecosystem, in a sense. So I really appreciate your answer. And man, I remembered just now earlier you said you want to say something about the link it up with the 45 minutes video, in a sense, right?
Yeah, you know, your listener's time is very limited, and to get their time, they need to say what's the value. And to trust. So I hope I've piqued your interest, but I want to be clear. Again, everything I've said, I'm not trying to convince you of anything. I'm trying to create a perceptual framework so that you can see that this is possible and it could be simple. But you have to have an experience that you can feel. So I like to make things simple. My name's Daniel Packard. What's my website, Grayson?
DanielPackard.com.
Gold stars. I want to make this simple, lower the barriers to your audience. Even though this training is based on a $2,000 retreat that we used to do, what do you think I charge for this 45-minute training, Grayson?
Free.
Booyah! Gold stars. Free. Woo-hoo! Because we want people to feel this. You download the free 45-minute training, and you're going to have two experiences. One is you're going to see and feel the root cause of what's making your nervous system unsafe and making you full of fear and anxiety.
Right.
And it's not what you expect. Then you're going to understand the theory of how you start to repair your nervous system so you can feel safe. Then you're going to apply one of our techniques. It's not the whole system, but it's one of our most effective techniques that works quickly. And you are going to apply it to your feelings of fear and anxiety. And you're going to measure, keyword measure, and you are going to feel measurably calmer. And when you try to think of something that makes you afraid or anxious, you won't be as afraid or anxious about that thing. And it can be a profound, I've had someone a month ago reached out and she said, I felt a level of calm from that 3-minute exercise at the end, a level of calm I haven't felt since I was a kid. And what that's going to show you is not only how our tools work, but most importantly, that they can work for you, because you think they can't because everything else you've tried has failed you. Now, you can use this technique that you learn. You can either use it to just manage your anxiety, but right. You've done that your whole life. You can use it for that. But more importantly, I hope through the feeling, it gives you hope. Hope that you don't have to live like this anymore. Hope that you really could have no fear and anxiety, which would give you the life that you deserve to be happy and fulfilled and joyful and confident and successful, not just for you, but the people you care about. Fear and anxiety is just keeping everybody from their potential. And I want your audience to have happy lives. And they'll see that that's more possible when the fear and anxiety is gone. So if you think 45 minutes is a good use of time to find out if you can be fearless and more confident and more happy for the rest of your life, if you think that's a good use of your time, then you go to my website. What's my website, Grayson?
www.danielpackard.com.
And how much is this incredibly valuable training?
Free. F-R-E-E, free.
Give me an F. F, give me an R, R, E, E, E. Okay, so to your audience, thank you so much, Grayson, for having me and asking your excellent questions. Thank you to your audience, to those that stuck around to the end. I appreciate your time and trust, but please don't stop here. Don't just say, oh, this guy made some good points. Knowledge is overrated. Information is overrated. To solve something, you need results, and I want you to go get those results with the free training.
Awesome. So with that, I would like to thank Daniel for the amazing golden nuggets that he has dropped in this episode. And also at the same time, I would like to thank each and every one of you from 80 plus countries that have been tuning in to the Regacy Show. I really appreciate you guys. Stay tuned for the next episode where we're going to have amazing guests that are coming on board as well. And before we forget, Daniel, where can my audience find you?
Oh, God, it's so complicated. Oh, man, life is complicated. Wait a minute. What if things can be simple, Rayson? What if people just go to danielpackard.com?
Awesome. Okay, so you guys can actually go to www.danielpackard.com and you can go and look for him. And if you have any questions, you can direct it to him as well. I believe there will be his email ad or even his social media will be there as well. So with that, take care, everyone, and see you real soon. Bye-bye. Thank you, everyone, for listening to another episode of The Regacy Show. I hope it has enlightened you. I hope it has brought you to an epiphany where you realize that this is where you want to go and this is what you want to do. So I hope you will continue to support and also at the same time like, comment, and share this episode out to your people, to your family, your friends. And not forgetting that we have just created a Telegram group. It's called the Regacy Show Family. So you can go and check it out and let us know how you find this group is serving you. All right, so with that, I would like to thank you once again. See you and stay tuned for another episode of The Regacy Show.